This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
It's coming up to Melbourne's favourite time of year, and of course we're talking about Midsummer. It starts this Saturday the 19th and runs through until the 10th of February. It's your chance to celebrate everything queer, but my favourite part of the festival, of course, is theatre. And this year, Midsummer does not disappoint. From a sold-out Sydney session, the Arts Centre Melbourne presents the Dan Giovanni's Green Room award-winning adaptation of Christos Tolakis's book Merciless Gods in the Fairfax Studio from the 6th to the 10th of February.
We are lucky enough to welcome into the Joy Studios this morning the writer Dan Giovanni and one of the stars of the production, Paul Blenheim. Welcome, guys, and thank you for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. Good morning.
And thank you, Mikey, for pronouncing our guest's name correctly.
I think I'm okay with it. How did I do?
You did very well.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, pretty good. I'll take that.
This is why we bought the Italian in, because this dumb Aussie bogan here ain't pronouncing anything. So look, I want to talk about the book first. So at first, we're going through, so not everyone appreciated Merciless Gods when it was first brought out, the book. Look, people said it was just basically a collection of short stories, basically only designed to shock. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that I actually go back and think about, you know, Christos's work and how important it is. He writes about things that people are scared to talk about, shines light on society, even makes us like people we might hate. Look, we've got to think about his other works, you know, The Slap, Barracuda. So, Dan, what was it about the book that intrigued you to get involved into the, you know, to write the stage play?
I think it's true that Christos's work does have really, I would say, kind of brutal elements rather than shocking elements. I think there are you know, characters who do things and say things and, you know, go through experiences that are uncomfortable. But none of that is designed. I think the word shock kind of suggests that there's nothing behind that. Whereas actually I think that he uses that brutality to explore something incredibly human and tender. And that's what I found in the work when I first read it, was this sort of beautiful three-dimensional tenderness and humanness from these characters who, yes, say awful things but are beautiful people, or who do beautiful things but are bad people. And that is a much more interesting character study for me, and sort of, you know, analysis of humans and humanity than someone who is just good or is just bad or who just does, you know, nasty things. But the capacity for all of those things to exist in one body is much more truthful. And so that's when I read the book and I read these stories, I was like, ah, this is... yeah, this is a story that we can put on stage.
Because I remember when I read it, I'm very judgmental, but then you stop and think, what would I do in the same situation? You know, I mean, we all like to think we're great people, you know, we like to judge ourselves, but put into a situation like what happens to some of these characters, how would we react? We could all change.
And I think Christos does a really beautiful job in his stories of putting his characters, as you say, under pressure. And I think when you're learning how to tell stories and to write characters, one of the things that you learn is that your characters are always under pressure from different things, whether it's, you know, society or family, or the pressure's kind of placed on you, as in, you know, many of the characters in the book are young queer migrants, the children of migrants. Those pressures make you respond and react in a particular way. And so that's all Christos is sort of doing, is watching these characters under pressure respond to the things that are happening to them.
Right. So for people out there that, you know, living under a rock and probably never read the book, give us a rundown of what Merciless Gods is about.
Merciless Gods as a short story collection is 15 short stories from Christos that spans Christos's career. So he's been writing for, you know, two decades. And so there are stories in the collection that he wrote at the beginning of his career, and then things that he wrote more recently. There are, as I said, 15 stories. We've not done all of the stories for the stage adaptation. We've taken 8 of those stories to turn into the play.
Do we get Pawn 1, 2, or 3?
You get Pawn 1, you get Pawn 2, and...
Pawn 3,
you get all the pawns.
Oh, okay, we get all the pawns.
Which is part of a collection of sort of a study that Christos did about Pawn. And... some of them are a bit porny, some of them are less porny, but we do the lot.
Yeah. Right. Paul, you've previously done Merciless Gods before. What attracted you to jump back in and do it again?
The opportunity to do it was, I mean, I love this show a lot. We started working on the show years ago. Most of us had worked together before and are good friends. And we eventually got it on in Melbourne in 2017.
17, yeah.
And we were still developing that right up until the opening of that season. And we got about 2 weeks to kind of thrash it out. And then we're really sad when it ended. Like,
yeah.
we thought there was just so much more to explore. And we luckily got another opportunity to do it in Sydney up at Griffin Theatre.
And how did they take it? I mean, because Melbourne is, you know, we love a bit of... you know, raw theatre. How did the Sydney audiences like it?
Well, I don't know if you've been to Griffin, but it was a much smaller space than where we performed it in Melbourne. And we attempted to put this epic show in this tiny little space. And it was... I feel like the show kind of just landed up there. Oh. And the response to it was unlike anything I've ever had.
Well, I mean, I've read the Australian... Like, you know, the Australians did some great reviews, you know, and they can be a very... How should you say that? You know, they're not a paper that reaches out to the fringes, but, you know, they gave you a great review.
Yeah, and it was more about the response from the people. Like, people were coming up to us in the street and saying, like, you know, thank you for that. I've never seen something like that on the stage before. I've never seen those stories told to us
before. Do you think people also see themselves in some of the stories?
Yes,
and then come up
so.
And say, hey, that's like a bit like my life.
Yes, which is quite amazing because some of these stories are brutal and really full on, but to have someone come up and say, I saw an aspect of my life or my relationship with my family in that in those stories, it's quite amazing to receive that feedback.
So, Paul, you play multiple characters.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it more fun? Does it make it harder? I mean, how do you go from one to the other?
It's definitely a challenge, but it's like an actor's dream because we all of us get to play multiple roles. And very different characters. Like, I play a crazy range, which is a great opportunity for me. But, yeah, really challenging because I've been asked to play characters that I would not usually be cast as.
Mm.
And I think a lot of the cast have... That's the case for them as well.
And as an actor, that would be more fun. I mean,
yeah,
you wouldn't
absolutely.
Want to play yourself, would
absolutely.
You?
And it, like, challenges you when you grow and... especially getting to do it, you know, this is the third time now, so we're all ready to go and get back into it and just, you know, try to improve on what we did last
time.
Have
you seen yourself in the show as well? Are you bringing your outside into it?
Yes, of course. But, I mean, some of these stories are really quite full on. And a lot of imagination has had to kind of go into...
how you've created those roles.
Yeah.
And I wrote the roles for these actors too. You know, they were in the development from the beginning. And so whether you're bringing elements of yourself, Paul, to your roles, there are definitely things in you and the way that you speak that are kind of embedded in those roles, I think.
Yeah.
From my perspective anyway.
With some of the characters that are kind of the trickier, that are outside your personal experience, where do you draw from to kind of harness that character?
With this one, a lot of it comes from the text, like just focusing on the text and developing the text and, like, living with that for a period of time during rehearsal. And then doing lots of research and just working on it on the floor with the other actors and developing these characters. And, yeah, drawing on all our experiences that kind of relate to the show.
So, Dan, I've read that you're now the writer-in-residence for the Melbourne Theatre Company. You're a multi-award-winning playwright for both children and adults, and I think your last show, I saw it in a tent. Why can't I think? Anyway, we'll move on. I'll have a look at that. I've probably got it.
Cut Snake.
Cut Snake.
I loved Cut... Go on. I loved Cut Snake. Talk about it later.
It was a fantastic... And to have turned up into the tent, it was very raw. It was great. But I want to know, I mean, you're a writer in residence. When does an idea become a show?
It's sort of... A couple of ideas become a show for me. It's usually... things that I can't let go of, something that will kind of stick around for, I suppose, like an earworm, you know, like a song that sticks in your head for a couple of days. It's like an idea that just will not go away, and it usually only goes away, well, it doesn't go away, but when it attaches to another idea that won't go away, and these two things sort of come together, and you're like, oh, that's a play.
And do you get inspiration from people like walking down the streets? Are you one of those sitting in a cafe writing little notes thinking, oh, look at that creep, I'd love to put that one in my next story?
Yeah, absolutely. No, look, a little bit. I mean, I write, I take inspiration from stories, I think, that I read in the newspaper, from books, from anecdotes that I hear. So yeah, there's definitely stuff in real life. I'm less sort of like, I wonder what that person on the tram's life story is, but I do often write down things that I hear on trams. So if you're in a tram,
you could be next. I mean, I love Merciless Gods, the book. I thought it was great. Is theatre, like telling these LGBTQ stories in theatre, is that still important in today's society?
I think so. I think what's so extraordinary about this collection of stories, of stories, on hearing them on stage, and I think I've learnt this more since doing the show and hearing from people their responses, is that these are not stories that people hear on stage.
Oh, no.
This is a sort of gap in the representation of Australia and what Australians are and what they look like and what they sound like. And this story, this collection of stories, I think kind of helps fill that gap.
So, Paul, you've got a very impressive body of work. And we're not just talking about you getting your clothes off again for this show. But you've done quite a little bit with the Little One Theatre. Mm. How important are these independent production companies, especially ones that champion the LGBTQ issues?
Well, the independent companies, especially in a city like Melbourne, are the lifeblood of our theatre industry. The independent theatre in Melbourne will never die.
Yeah.
Because it is feeding our bigger companies, and what we put on the stage, as far as stories go, generally informs what will be happening on the main stage in a couple of years, because we're not scared to put on confronting stuff like this, or stuff that challenges people.
And you are right, we need the independence to actually give people for work that would never make the main stage. People get out there and see it, and next minute, it becomes trendy, it's kitsch, and next minute, it's Brain of the Opera House, isn't it?
Well, this little show started in a little town hall, and now is at the Arts Centre. And
a lot of people said no to this show along the way, and I think, not to sound self-righteous about it, but I think that this work had heaps of potential at the beginning, and it potentially was a little bit confronting for people to sort of...
People like Alan Jones in Sydney don't lie. We're shining a torch on his back door. We don't want to lie.
Thank you guys for pushing and challenging, because you're creating such beautiful theatre. And you can catch Merciless Gods at the Arts Centre, Melbourne Fairfax Studio from 6th to 10th February 2019. Tickets are from... you can get them at theartscentremelbourne.com.au, and all links will be available from our socials as well at Tom and Warren. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
I can't wait to see the show next week.
Thank you.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.